Good morning. Ooh, that was a good one. How y'all doing this morning? You know, I've been down here for a minute when a New Yorker says y'all. You guys have converted me. Amen. Well, I hope you guys are doing great this morning. I'm very excited to see that God has decided to make this Holy Spirit Sunday. I heard that Mr. Mike Ryle did a lesson on the Holy Spirit. It was mentioned by Dan in the communion message. And the lesson, the title of my lesson is The Power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you guys figure out what you're going to study in your Bibles. But a lot of times what I do is I hear things in different sermons, and it prompts me to want to go ahead and study it out, to look deeper and figure out what God has to say in the Bible. And during spring break, my family and I were in Tampa, Florida, and we were visiting, the church there, and John Porter did a fantastic sermon, and it prompted me to start studying out the subject of the Holy Spirit. And there's so many different aspects of the Holy Spirit that we could study out, and what I was studying out, and I'm continuing to study out, is how he worked in the life of the church in the book of Acts. And you know, the book of Acts is one of my favorite books, because I feel like it's a model for how we should be. That excited life, that the zeal, the passion. You know, being a Christian isn't supposed to be boring. Being a disciple of Jesus is supposed to be an adventure. Do you feel like you're on an adventure this morning? And if you don't, buckle up. We're going to talk about it. Turn your Bibles over to Zechariah 4, verse 6. Before we jump into the book of Acts, we're going to look back in the Old Testament. You know, the Holy Spirit has been around for a very long time, amen? And he's been at work for a very long time, and he continues to work today. In Zechariah 4, verse 6, he says, "So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty.'" That's very encouraging to me. I don't know if it is for you, because if I'm going by my own strength, I'm in trouble. Because my strength is very minimal, but God's is infinite. When I understand that it is not by my might or by my power, but people change, that gives me freedom. When I realize it's through his power that I change first, and then I get the opportunity to help others change, that's exciting to me. You know what's discouraging? When I think it's all about me. When I try to go on my own strength. I don't care how talented you are, how cute you may be. That will only bring you so far. Did you hear me? It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are meant to do work for God. You know, like I said, being a Christian is never meant to be boring. It is not about rules. It is not about religion. It's about a relationship. Amen. It's about a relationship with a God who loves us deeply. And first, he wants us to work on ourselves. Amen? That's right. And once we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we then in turn can help others. Amen. And that's what we see in the book of Acts. Look over in 2 Peter 1. You know, the Holy Spirit had so many critical roles in our lives, and we don't even realize it half the time. You know, there's so many things we can be grateful for. If I started asking you guys to shout out, there'd be so many things. Our spouses, our siblings, our kids, our jobs, our lunch. Don't think about lunch yet. I don't know why I brought it up. Gosh. I just lost half the group. Come back. I'm going to feed you something else for a minute. But there's so many things we have to be grateful for, and one of those is the Bible. How often do you look at your Bible and be like, man, I am so grateful for the Word of God? You know, in our church, that's one of the things that really set us apart, right? that we're really into our Bibles, man. That we're, if it's in the Bible, we do it. If it's not, you know, if it's debatable, we'll talk about it, whatever. But we are students of the Scriptures. In 2 Peter verse 1, a verse we're all familiar with, 2 Peter 1, 21, it says, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Did you catch that? Man did not read the Bible. I don't care what form you have it on. I have it on a tablet. You might have a book. Amen. Praise God. They're still the same words. But man did not write it. God used man as a tool. The same way you're using your pen as an instrument. God used the Holy Spirit and he carried along man to write the Bible. Isn't that encouraging? But notice that God said the Holy Spirit carried men. Are you being carried by God this morning? Are you allowing God to carry you here and there? Are you allowing him to tell you where to go? Are you allowing him to tell you when to stay and when to go? See, it has to be God who tells you to go. If you go before you're supposed to go, you might not be supposed to go. But how are you going to know? Because we need to be praying and listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, while we need to be grateful for the Bible and the teachings it gives us, it gives us these teachings for a reason. You know, this is not a college course. We're not here just to give out knowledge. Amen? We're here to give you knowledge that deepens your understanding where you can move on to maturity and get deep convictions. You know, we build deep convictions from the lessons we learn, but it cannot stop there. Thomas Carlyle said, "Conviction is worthless unless it is converted into conduct." I'm going to read that again. Conviction is worthless unless it is converted into conduct. You know, I read that this week somewhere, and I threw it on Facebook. And I had so many likes. It was likes. I mean, a lot of likes. It's great to like it, but are you changing because of it? You know, read your Bibles. I'm not saying don't read your Bibles. We should be in there. You know, a brother challenged me, don't just read it, bro. Write notes. Get detail. And, man, it's transformed my Bible study. And I'll do that every once in a while, but a lot of times I'll just read it, meditate on it, and kind of keep it moving, you know? No, I'm missing out. I urge you guys. I encourage you guys. Write it out. It just takes you to a different level. I don't know what it is. But I'm sitting there thinking about stuff, and then what happens is it gets deeper. So during the day while I'm walking around, it comes back to mind. And I think about it, and I'm like, man, this is good stuff. I'm getting to chew on it all day long. But conviction is worthless unless it's converted into conduct. Okay, you're studying your Bible. What are you studying? Has the Holy Spirit led you to study about, you know, whatever, about being humble, about being patient, about whatever? Can you do a lesson on it? Well, let me ask you a question. Is your life preaching that lesson already? That's what God wants. He just doesn't want us to be able to fill up notebooks with notes. He wants us to be able to convert it into conduct. That's exciting. Look over in John 16. You know, last week was Easter, and we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. You know, we had a great service. I hope you guys had some great dinners and a great time together. It was awesome. We hung out with the Dobles and a bunch of people. It was fantastic. You know, the power of God is at work for our benefit. You know, Jesus wasn't just raised from the dead so that he could be raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead for our benefits. He was raised from the dead to show the power of God. And that same power is available to us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that power. He said, John 16, verse 7, it says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I go away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come. But if I go, I will send him." See, Jesus already knew. Him and God had already talked about the plan. That's right. The plan was that Jesus was going to stay here for 33 years. And then he was going to go, but he wasn't going to leave us alone. He was sending to us the advocates, the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't just coming to hang out. Oh, no, he had a purpose. He had a mission to send us on. And he wasn't just sending us out. He was going with us to the point where he would come into us and be part of us. Amen? Look over in Acts 1. Man, have you ever just stopped and thought about the power of the resurrection? Jesus was in the grave 3 days. And he came back. He came back to bring us freedom. You know, a lot of times we skim over these verses and we're not really getting deep into the lessons and allowing our hearts to be filled with the message. The resurrection is very convicting. The power of the Holy Spirit, we can skip over it. You know, I went into a bookstore and John Porter had mentioned a couple of books on the subjects that he was teaching. And I went to a bookstore, a Christian bookstore, to look for it. And I was like, hey, do you have this book? No. Do you have this book? No. I was okay. What do you have books on the Holy Spirit? I said, we're in the charismatic section. I said, really? What's that about? The Holy Spirit has been categorized? You have a Holy Spirit section? Shouldn't he be permeating this whole store? Shouldn't he be in every book we read? In everything we think about and everything we do? Because he's supposed to be the one in us that's giving us the power to do what we do. I was very convicted. I was like, in the charismatic section, I ain't against no charismatics. I'm just saying. You have categorized the Holy Spirit. You better be careful, family bookstore. You better be careful, Christian bookstores. The Holy Spirit don't like to be categorized. He cannot be contained. The same way that Jesus couldn't be contained in the grave. Let's look over in the book of Acts. Acts 1. Let's start in verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They still didn't totally get it. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. After he said all this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sights. Okay, here we learn that after the resurrection of Jesus, he began instructing the apostles about the mission. He starts teaching them, and the cool thing, it says that he was teaching them through the Holy Spirit. Here, the Holy Spirit makes his first reference, right, in the book of Acts. When you read the book of Acts, it could be changed to the Acts of the Holy Spirit instead of just the Acts of the Apostles. See, when we go in our own strength, our acts are incomplete. But when we have the Holy Spirit working in us, we need to be, you know, pointing to him as the one acting. You know, before he died, we read already in John that he promised that the Spirit would come. So here he is. He was with them for 40 days, and he taught them many things. And one of the things he taught them was that the Holy Spirit was coming and that they will receive what with it? Power. Are you experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you so worried that you don't want to be religious? Are you so worried that they put your books that are supposed to be out front in the charismatic section, in the back of the room, that you're not asking God for power? You know, when you ask God for power for yourself, I don't think he's going to answer that prayer. But when you ask for God for power to change yourself so that you can be a blessing on others, he always answers that prayer. Why? Because it's for his glory. You know, whenever you struggle with whatever, if you're begging God for it, God will answer that. Remember, he's Father. I don't want to go too far. My first point is this: we need to bear witness. Verse 8, Jesus tells them that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit came to them. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. So the power wasn't just coming for them for their benefits. It was coming so that they can go then bear witness. Are we bearing witness the way Jesus would? You know, we talk about that a lot, don't we? You know why I think we talk about it a lot? Because I think it's one of the things we fall out of doing very quickly. We get so consumed with self. We're going to a store to go buy some milk. You're not there for milk. Yeah, you're there for milk. Get your milk, get some cookies, get whatever you need. But don't leave without talking to somebody. Talk to somebody. So many times we're so busy, we're so frazzled, and that's when I notice that when I don't share my faith, when I'm thinking about what I got to do. Well, I got to do a sermon. I got to go. I got to grab my milk. I got to get home to get it. Duh! What am I doing the sermon on? The Holy Spirit? So why I got to prepare so much? Now, does that mean not to prepare? Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. You know, there's not enough time in a day to do all the things we got to do. We're busy people. And a lot of times we're busy with stuff that we shouldn't really be busy with. But that's another day. We're going to write all this stuff down. They're going to be some good sermons. But he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witness. That is what we need to be doing. Amen. You know, it was awesome this past Wednesday. A bunch of the single brothers got together. It was crazy, impromptu, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mass text, hey guys, what are you doing tonight? Let's go shoot some pool. And so many of these guys were like, let's go. Let's do it. And they did. They came. And, you know, we had a plan. We did not go there just to shoot pool, though we shot some pool. And some won and some lost. And everyone walked away encouraged. Amen? It was fun. But we decided before we went that we are not just going to go in there and be all about ourselves. We're going to bring invitations. And we're going to have pens. And we're going to have the hearts prayed up. So when we get there, we'll be about bearing witness. And it was encouraging. You know, we were sitting there, and let me see if they're here. No. Okay, I don't want to talk about them if they're here. And if you're here, I love you. Because I'm glad you came. But so we're shooting pool, and there was an Asian couple in the corner, and they were playing whatever. And I'm like, it's a couple, and they're Asian. They're different than me. That's who I need to go talk to. Because I can easily talk to people that I'm comfortable with. But here's a couple who, when I go up to them, they might be looking at me like, who's this joker? Because when I come up to you, if I came up to Jamie wouldn't be like, who's this joker? If he was with Venus, he might. Because they're united. They feed off each other. You see what I'm saying? There's more intimidation for me. But I said, shucks, I need to go talk to them. Something just told me to. I went up to them, and they just backed up, smiled politely, and they said they went to a different church. They thanked me. They thought what we were doing was cool. But I did what I was supposed to do. Hopefully they come out. They had my the invitation and my information. And then we didn't stop there, obviously. There was a group of about 4 or 5 guys at another table. And I'm like, hey, Tommy, I'm going to go talk to those dudes. And they all sitting there sipping on a little beer, having a good time. I said, those are the guys. They need to come to church. And by the time I was getting ready to walk over, Robert Gibson's over there talking to them. I was like, come on, man. Why are you over there talking to my people? But it was encouraging because no one would say, hey, bro, go. Stop talking. Get going. Everybody was just doing their stuff. And then after a certain time, we were like, you know what? It's starting to get late. Let's put these balls up and get out to where they play the video games and just start walking around. And, man, it was fun. I look up, and Ron's over there talking to a couple people. And then, you know, Alaria was talking to people. It was just everybody just running around. And we're all like, yo, what's up? How you doing? And no fellowship because we didn't got time for that. It's 10 o'clock. Everybody got to work the next day, work, school, whatever. So we were about the business. And there was a buzz. The Holy Spirit was at work. It was fun. It was exciting. Take your Bible talks out to that. Campus, I know y'all do that all the time. Do it some more. Teens, let's go. Let's go. Everybody, marries, let's go. Let's just go together. There's something about being together doing that. Because guess what? When somebody shoots you down, you look at the next disciple and be like, I have suffered persecution for the Lord. Amen. And then you move, you keep it moving. I went to talk to one dude, and his whole family came over, looking like they were going to jump me because they thought I was harassing them. I said, no, I'm just trying to invite them to church. And they're Armenian family. They go to an Armenian church. I said, hey, we speak all languages too. Come on out. We speak to everybody. It was awesome. It was fun. Let's move on to Acts 2. And trust me, I am not saying this to boast about what we did. This is just something we need to be doing. You know, I don't get an extra piece of pie when I get to heaven for doing this, then neither do these guys. Jesus would be like, look, you want some, come on, Armenian family, come on, go ahead. You want some whipped cream on that thing? No! What he's going to say is, well done, good and faithful servant. Come in and enjoy your master's happiness. I don't want to do this for accolades. I don't want to get this for the high fives. I want to do this because I know he's pleased with me. And you know what? It's fun. Being a disciple is not supposed to be boring, y'all. You're not supposed to just be, you know, just avoiding sin. Oh, no, no, no. You're missing the whole point of being a Christian. Sin avoidance is part of being a Christian. But rejoicing in the Spirit is being a part of being a Christian, too. Worshiping our God. There's so many different things. But in Acts 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from all nations under earth. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Exciting. The Christian life is not boring. These dudes were up in the upper room. I'm sure that they were praying. They were asking God. Remember, Jesus had been taken from them. You know, he had went back to heaven. So they were kind of trying to figure out what's next. We already know that Jesus gave them the instructions, don't leave Jerusalem. That was what was next. And they're just trying to figure out, okay, let's see a sign. And, ooh, did they get a sign? Imagine being in your house and all of a sudden there's wind. What does it say right there? Violent wind in your house. Now, last time I checked, wind is supposed to be outside. The Holy Spirit's so powerful, he created wind when he came into place. And next thing you know, there's fire on top of their head shaped in the shape of tongues. And we kind of see why later on, right? The Holy Spirit came in power. And I think he came with that power because he wanted them to understand it is not by your power, but it is by my power that we're going to get this thing started. It is not about your righteousness. It is not about your sacrifice. But it is about what I do through you, in you, with you, not by you. That's incredible, isn't it? That's the same power that we have available to us on a daily basis. How often are we asking God for that power? How often do we walk out, you know, out of our homes and be like, I am a son of God. I am a powerful man of God. Not in arrogance, but knowing that this day he wants me to meet somebody that will become a Christian. Do you believe that there are lost people out there? And are you living like it? You know, while we were on vacation, while we were on break, that John Porter's sermon really prompted my heart. And I said, man, I have to be personally fruitful. Meaning I need to be out there 100% of the time with people on my heart, not just doing it because I'm supposed to. So that whole week, that was my quiet time, asking God to be bold, asking God to help me when I got back home to really be about his business. And I'm excited. I'm really trying to be consistent with it. And I don't know about you guys, but when I'm doing something that is beneficial, I like to bring other people along. When I start trying to lose weight, I start talking to other people. I mean, come on, let's go. Let's do this together. Let's go ride our bikes together. Let's eat. Don't eat that. You know, let's not eat that together. You know what I mean? Maybe eat half of that, bro. It's okay. Save the other half for later. When I'm sharing my faith, it comes into my messages. When you're convicted about something, when something is your passion, you can't help but talk about it. The NBA Finals cannot be your passion. It's a sideline item. I enjoy sports, but I enjoy God much more. Because I don't know if there'll be basketball in heaven. Maybe not. But I know who will be there. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So I want to know all about them that I can. The apostles began to speak in foreign tongues. Why? God is a God of order, not of chaos. God just wasn't having them talk gibberish. They were speaking in their language so that these people would understand the most important message of their lives. God loves them. God won't want them gathered to walk away without being impacted. Okay, there's the lesson. Are you allowing people to walk away from your presence without being impacted? People need to be impacted by us, guys. Not because we're awesome, but because he's awesome. But because we experience his power, now his power lives in us, so we give it away. It's exciting. And it's just who we are. It's not about titles. It's not about if you're a Bible talk leader or an evangelist or an elder or whatever. It's that I'm a son and a daughter of Jesus Christ. And I have that same power that all these other men and women have, and I'm going to use it. It's awesome. These guys, you know, you couldn't stop them. They just started walking around speaking Chinese, speaking Creole. I don't know what they spoke, but they spoke it. They're like, how am I even doing this? I don't know what you're saying. And it was awesome. Everybody was inspired and encouraged. You know, when you come to church, you are supposed to be inspired and encouraged, but not fed. Now, you're supposed to be fed, but this is not supposed to be your main meal. Do you understand what I'm saying? We praise God, man. I know Mike did a great class. I did my best with the teens. We had a great time. And we try to feed you guys. But guess what? If you depend on up here for your sustenance, you're going to get hungry. From Sunday to Thursday, oh, Lord, you must come to midweek like, I'm famished. The Holy Spirit's like, somebody give me a cracker, something. Somebody give me some. I'm dying. Stop it. Feed yourself. I am laying out an appetizer. That's all I'm trying to do. You try to get into the Holy Spirit and do a study on it, it's going to take you a long time. I'm on like chapter 4 because I am picking apart every reference, cross-referencing it, meditating on it, writing notes, the little things, the things I'm learning, whatever, and it's incredible. What are you studying out? We need to be studying out stuff for our characters. We need to be studying out stuff for other people's characters so that we can know how to help people. As we disciple people, I hope that you're getting more knowledge on the stuff they struggle with so that you can biblically help them, not just with your opinion. I ain't going to go there. Okay. Amen. The Holy Spirit brings us power to make God's words clear. You understand that? That's why the people spoke in all those languages, so that the message would be clear. We need to be depending on the Holy Spirit, not just the knowledge of the Bible, to meet people. We live in a very diverse county. Look at the room. We're a very diverse church. Are you learning how to speak in different ways to different people? Because if we just keep on meeting people that are just like us, we will continue to look the same. I need to be going after people that are totally different than me and not allowing the devil to make me feel insecure because I have the Holy Spirit. Let's look over in Acts 2. Acts 2:14. So what we just read, you know, the Holy Spirit comes, these guys are running around sharing, you know, the gospel in all these languages, and then something incredible happens in verse 14. It says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and explained to the crowd, fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. And I'm going to stop there. You want to hear more, don't you? Didn't you just be like, why'd you stop? You're just getting to the good part. That's the point. Are you standing up like that? My second point and my last point is that you need to stand up and speak. You can't just take all this good stuff and sit on it for a week. We need to stand up and speak. God gave us mouths. Many of us use them very well. Let's continue the process and use the Holy Spirit to meet people. It says, then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice. I got a big mouth. Stop laughing. That might be a shock to some of you guys. But see, God loves big mouth people because it gets his message out there. But guess what? God likes anybody with a mouth. Because guess what? I might not be able to reach some people. But that dude's too loud. Look at the way he dressed. I don't want to hear him. And then Mr. Mike comes up here. He's like, I get him. I understand where he's coming from. Does that make sense? We are all different for a reason. You know, we had an activity on Friday night with the teens, and I asked them, like, what their favorite color. And, man, they started going down the spectrum. They must have got the 32 to 34 count. Because I only got the 8 count. You know what I'm saying? The primary colors. They started going into magenta and teals. I'm like, who's going to guess those colors? Come on, man. But God has allowed us to be a bunch of magentas and teals and aquamarines and whatever other colors you want. We got every flavor, every shade in this room. We got swag. We got all right swag. You know, we got everything in here. You might not like my swag, but you might like somebody else's swag as long as we're looking to Jesus. It's not about us adorning ourselves like peacocks trying to attract people to ourselves. We speak for others. Remember, Peter was a fisherman before he met Jesus. He wasn't a politician. He wasn't some big old, you know, whatever. But he stood up. Let me ask you, disciples, are you standing up in the fellowship? See, Peter stood up among the disciples. That has something to say about his character. It's different. It's easy to stand up. Well, not easy, but it's expected for us to stand up in the world, right? Because we're the disciples. Are you standing up amongst the disciples? Are you standing out? Are you being that leader? Are you being, without title? I'm not talking about title. I'm talking about who you are. Does that make sense? Peter stood up. No one told him, hey, Peter, get up there, man. Go ahead, say something. What would you do if Richard didn't come in on one Sunday and say, man, we need somebody to preach? Would you stand up? I would. I know some other brothers would too. We'd be in the back arm wrestling. Who's going to preach? Come on, baby. I got a message on my heart. We need everybody to be like that. We need everybody to have that heart of, I'm going to stand up, even amongst the believers. I'm going to be at Bible Talk. I'm going to be at Devo. I'm going to be at the event, and not just be there, but be there. I'm going to be that encourager. Even if I had a fight with my wife before church, we're going to fix it because I need to be good when I get to church. Honey, we're going to talk about this because I need to be right. Is that our hearts? But you know what? It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not through our power that we can do all these things. We can't wait for someone else to do it. How are your Bible Talks going? Are you looking to your Bible Talk leader for him to bring out people? Are you looking towards your Bible Talk leaders to lead everything? Or are you saying, hey, bro, I got a lesson on my heart I'd love to do? Or, hey, I got some ideas. Why don't we do something different? Let me let you know. Leadership loves ideas. Leadership loves people that say, hey, can I take this from your plate? Absolutely. You can take this, you can take some of this too. We need it. That's why we're a congregation. That's why we're a people of God. not to have leadership, but to have everybody in community through the Holy Spirit. Amen? In Acts 2:36. Okay, so we skipped a little bit. You read that on your own. But the stuff we skipped about, Peter was teaching all the Jews about Jesus and about Jesus really through the Old Testament. He had a great sermon. But in 36, he kind of gets to the point. And he says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, and for all those who are far off, whom the Lord our God will call." Many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. We need to stand up, but we need to speak the truth. Amen. Are you bold when you share your faith? Amen. Are you bold when you talk to your friends about who Jesus is? Are you bold when you talk to them about where their life is? I ain't saying mean. I'm not saying disrespectful. What I'm saying, lovingly honest. Peter stood up, and he didn't just stand up and say something like, "Hey guys, it'll be great if you became Christians. Cool. Awesome. All roads lead to Jesus." No. He stood up. He says, "You killed the Messiah." That could have got him in a lot of trouble that day, don't you think? He said, "You killed the Messiah. Now this is what you need to do about it." What was the result? People's hearts were cut. When we stand up and we speak the truth, some people will have cut hearts. And those are the people we're looking for. Those are the people that we were. When we heard the message, no matter how long it took us to hear it, once we finally heard it, it cut us to the point of change. And those are the people we're trying to look for. When we speak up, we got to believe in the words we're speaking. David Hume, 18th century British philosopher who rejected historical Christianity, once met a friend hurrying along a London street and asked where he was going. The friend said he was off to hear George Whitefield preach. "But surely you don't believe what Whitefield preaches, do you?" He says, "No, I don't." "But he does." That's very convicting. That's very convicting. Do you believe in the message of the Bible? When you're speaking to people, can they look in you in the eye and say, "Man, I might not get what he's saying, but he believes it." That's who I want to be. I don't want to be a person that just sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And sometimes we can feel like that, right? That's not your headache. Stop worrying about that. What you need to worry about is, do you believe in your message? And then the acts of the Holy Spirit, the power of what he has to say will come through. You know, when we speak to people in love, people have the opportunity to have the same changed life that we enjoy today. Galatians 5, verse 16, I'll close up here. You know, like I said before, that the study of the Holy Spirit is not something that can be done in a 30, 40-minute sermon. There's a lot of aspects, and I wanted to give you guys a little taste of another aspect of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Drop down to 24. "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with all its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Guys, this is what we're supposed to be living up to. Crucifying and not gratifying the desires of the flesh. We need to crucify the flesh and all its passions and to keep in step with the Spirit. The only way you can keep in step with something is that you watch it intensely. How you gonna kind of try, if you're in a race and you're trying to keep up with somebody, you ain't looking the other way, are you? You're straight looking at that person like, "I'm going to catch you, and then I'm going to go past you." Now, don't worry about that. You're not going to do that with the Holy Spirit. but we're just trying to keep in step. You know what I'm saying? Some of us are so far behind because our eyes are on other things. The power of the Holy Spirit is available to us. But let me let you know, God is not going to force his power on you. God is not going to force himself upon you to use you. It has to be your desire to be used by God. Amen? We need to bear witness. We need to stand up and speak. And when we speak, we need to speak the truth. Amen.